How you doing? This is Pastor Maxwell of New Beach Grove Baptist Church, and I wanted to invite you out to make sure you come worship with us. We do a lot of things for the community. We do the In Touch basketball program. We take care of the homeless. We teach leadership workshops. We teach real estate classes to make you ready to buy a home. We help you with building up your credit. We do a lot of different things here at New Beach Grove because our vision is to build kingdom-minded people to serve the community. Won't you come in and check us out? We love you. Hope to see you here. And I do appreciate your patience, but we're going to get in the Word of God. If you can find Mark chapter 14, and also Luke chapter 22, we're in the second part of our The Storm series. We're in the second part of The Storm series that we end as a two-part series. We started on last week and we finished it on this week. Mark chapter 14 and Luke chapter 22. I'm going to read these particular verses right now. Mark 14, 26 through 32 says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you in Galilee. But Peter said unto them, although all shall be offended, yet will I not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I would not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. Luke 22, 54 through 62 read, Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him, and he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while longer, after he saw, somebody saw him and said, Thou art also them. And Peter said, Man, I'm not. Just keep playing with me if you want to. If you exegete the text, you know, Peter said more than that. And about the space of an hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth his fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Lord, we thank you for your power and your grace. We thank you for your majesty. We love you, God. We ask for your word to go forth. Lord, we ask for you to get us out this storm that we're in. Get us through this storm we're going through. Oh, Lord, and prepare us for the storm that we're about to enter. Because some of us belong to at least one of these. In fact, all of us belong to at least one, because there will be a storm. There will be some challenges. There will be some things that we go through. But we should know, Lord, that if you are with us, you shall deliver us. You shall deliver us from the storm we're in right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, even as we look at the graphic, even as we talk about it, even as we look, we understand that there are some potholes in our lives. We understand that there are some cracks and crevices in our lives that we need you to handle. We love you. We thank you for getting us through this storm. We thank you even for allowing us to go through the storm, because it only makes us stronger. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm going to call a timeout and time a shoe right quick. Timeout. Time in. I want to talk to you on the subject of hit the reset button. Hit the reset button. I think I closed on a sermon one time with this, but I hit the reset button. And sometimes you just got to reset yourself when you're going through some things. It's funny how, remember you used to play with rubber bands and just stretch them. You see how far they can stretch. You know, these kids, they don't know about that stuff because, you know, they got all these video games. But, you know, we just be doing a little silly stuff for free. Mama give you a bag of rubber bands and you happy. Lord have mercy. In fact, that's what you need to do for about the next 90 days so we can get this stuff built. Just buy them some rubber bands. Amen. Let them play with it and stretch it and see how far it goes. Amen. Just to see how far the rubber band goes. You know what I'm saying? But that's how we do, because when enough pressure is applied to anything, it'll break. Because everything has a breaking point. We all have a breaking point. The problem is that no one really knows the exact point at which the object will break. See, it all depends on the elasticity of the material. You can begin to feel it, but you really don't know when it's going to break. The Bible even implies that God has a breaking point. Come on, somebody. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. This is to say that God will usher grace for a while, but after a while, even he has a breaking point. Come on, somebody. The disturbing thing is that he does not say at what point God's grace runs out. If I knew the exact point, I could be confident that whatever I do, I'll be okay, because I know at what point I need to stop. Come on, somebody. You know how you push your mama so far and you stepped over like, oh, Lord, I think I crossed the line. That's how it is with God sometimes. He doesn't tell us what point. Therefore, there is an uneasiness that keeps me wondering, how long can I do the stuff I do? Most of us don't know our own limitations. When you do not know your own limitations, you are not ready to deal with the battle, because life sometimes becomes a great battle and sometimes becomes torturesome. I know it's not many of you all out there that understand that life isn't always easy. But if you can just take some notes from the mature dose, they will tell you just keep on living. Some of us have never been to a breaking point, that therefore this sermon may become irritating to you, because life has not yet dealt you a hand that causes you to doubt why God even had you here. Oh, I know I'm a preacher, but sometimes I'm like, God, why do I got to be here? Why must I live through all these torturesome days? If heaven is like you say it is, why you just couldn't let us be there in the beginning? Why I got to come down here and walk in this wretched world and see murder and see death and see racism and see people hungry and poor and sick of disease? If you really got a heaven out there, why in the world you got me here right now? But Jesus understood the human limitations. See, after they had taken communion, Jesus told them that one of them was going to be offended by him that night. The disciples had just passed the Judas test. All of them were wondering what else could go wrong. See, they were still excited about not being Judas. You know how a test comes and you pass the test. And then you pass the test, and then then your teacher come give a pop-up quiz. You're like, come on, Jesus, I just know I'm not Judas. Now, you just told us a few days ago that somebody is a devil. I just passed this test. Now you're giving me another test, Jesus. Can you just stop blowing my high of success right now? I'm in a high place of celebration. Now, I'm not Judas. Now you're talking about one of us going to sit up here and not pass another test. Jesus, come on, bro. Jesus went on to say that you are going to deny me before the night is over. Peter rose up and said, not I. Have you ever been through a long night, though? He said, I won't deny. You know, have you ever thought you wouldn't deny Jesus? Have you ever thought that you wouldn't do anything wrong? And all of a sudden you was in night for a long time and you started compromising some things that you didn't never think you would do. Peter did not know himself because, see, he thought he was indestructible. And you think you're indestructible until you find something you can't destroy. Oh, the vast majority of us don't know ourselves. We don't know our own limitations. We make rash, radical statements. People that do not know themselves become critical of other people. They don't understand how you broke. They begin to ask, how did you let this happen? Why did you take that? If you really were a Christian, they want to send you emails and scriptures and text messages and motivational, emotionally detached sermonettes. They want to send you a Hallmark card and tell you if you was a Christian that you wouldn't be crying. If you was a Christian, you wouldn't break. Come on, somebody. I read in the Bible somewhere that Jesus even wept.
But see, they have sinned you this because they themselves have never been tested. They've never had the pressure applied to their lives in just the right place that they don't believe they can break. But there is a breaking point. I would love to tell you that when you get to the breaking point that you won't break. I would love to tell you that true Christian, true believers don't break. If I could preach that without going against the foundation of my theological principles, we would be able to sell enough CDs and pay off this building without even having to go into a capital campaign, without even having to touch your tithes and offering. People love to hear how they won't break, but truth be told, baby, even the best of us have a breaking point. There's a point that you will break in anything. Mother, even a mother after a while, I know your mother loves you, but you're like, look here, little Reggie, you go to jail one more time. I ain't coming. Oh, I know, baby, you keep tipping on me. You tip out on me one more time. You better know. I know you put a ring on it, but I'm about to take this ring off. Come on, somebody. Every now and then, you will get to the point where you can't handle this, and somebody will push you to the point where you break. The boss come to me one more time and say something to me, I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell my wife, but I ain't coming back here. Let that joker make me touch me one more time. Lord, I'm trying to hang it. I'm trying to stay over here at the shipyard, but I tell you, if they were, see, even that quiet person, come on, somebody. You be messing with them quiet people. Them folk that'll kill you now. Come on, every now and then that quiet docile woman that you thought would never snap on you. If you keep pushing too much, you better ask Al Green about them grits. Come on, somebody. You keep on messing with her. You keep on messing with that quiet man. After a while, you're going to find something in them that you don't want to discover. But I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that's how it ought to be. But there really is a breaking point for everybody. Instead of the Bible, the most mighty of men of God went through a breaking point. They went through times in their lives where they wanted to just throw up their hands in the air and quit. Moses did many acts of valor, called 10 plagues through God on the Egyptian, caused the Red Sea to part, but got to the point where he wanted to die because the Jews got on his last nerves. Elijah called the fire down on a water-soaked stone altar, stood up against 450 prophets of Baal, yet fled from Jezebel when she wanted to kill him and found himself up under a juniper tree asking to die and go to be with his fathers. Joel talked real tough in the beginning. Naked I came in the world and naked I shall return. The Lord gives and the Lord take away. But as the battle got worse, he said, cursed be the day I was formed in my mother's womb. Cursed be the breast that nursed me. Paul did mighty works for God. I pressed, but he said I was pressed above measure so much I despaired life altogether. Jacob was a faithful man of God, wrestled with God and won the battle, walked away only with a limp, received so much bad news, but finally he received the last measure and said, these things are against me. Everything is against me. He shook his head and fell under the pressure. There's a breaking point in your life that is a part of the process, a breaking point that helps you to develop and strengthen your faith. It only is only when you face the reality of your human limitation that you're able to experience the true power of God. As long as life continues to deal you things you can handle, you will always have this pseudo fashion and worship yourself and thank you all that because you will think you indestructible. But once you become splintered, hurt, confused, and discombobulated and come face to face with limitations of yourself, you'll begin to walk like Israel. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, I would have been swallowed up. Can I talk to some people that's been pushed to the point where they know that they can't make it without God? You got to get to the point and understand, if it was not for God on your side, oh, where in the world would you be? Oh, got to get my diaphragm ready. Preach from the throat. God can use people who've never been dirty, who've never done wrong, who have never made a mistake, who have not been reduced down to their least common denominator. He cannot use people who have not come to a breaking point in their life. Those who have not come to the breaking point in their life tend to be judgmental, gossips, busybodies, stick their nose into other people's affairs. But if you've ever been to the breaking point, it's a humbling experience. If you've ever been through a breaking point, it will change your personality. If you've ever been through a breaking point, it changes your disposition. Have you ever been to a point where you went against all your rules, all all your standards and all your own pet peeves? Have you ever done something you thought you would never do? Have you ever had a breaking point where you were uncertain of everything, every decision, and everybody around you? You weren't sure about yourself. You weren't sure about your friends. You weren't sure about your environment. You weren't even sure about the Lord. I know I'm a preacher right now, but every now and then, even when I'm passionate, I'll be like, God, did you really call me to do this? Because when I tell you, church folk would get on your last nerves every now and then, and you just want to throw in the towel and say, I'm tired, I'm fed up, let me walk down the street and catch that midnight train back to Georgia. I was minding my own business and somebody sent my resume up here. God, you called me to do this. I ain't called myself, but I'm tired. Peter thought he was not going to do anything wrong. He told Jesus he must be mistaken. Come on now, you just told Jesus. You know, sometimes we get all high and mighty and we think we know more than Jesus. Because he was too strong to do something like that. He thought he had it all together. Truth be told, we act like Peter all the time because some of us think we got all the answers. Because it, truth be told, you may not think you say it, but you don't read your Bible before you make a decision. You don't pray. Now, if somebody sit at the table and get a piece of chicken and don't say blessed in the name of Jesus, you go crazy. But you didn't pray about who you was going to marry. You didn't pray about what job you took. You didn't pray about where to go to school. You didn't pray about what to do with your daughter. You didn't pray about all that because you thought you was like Peter. Oh, you'll pray for that chicken. You'll pray for them collard greens. You'll pray for the McDonald's. You'll pray for Waffle House before you get there because you know it's nasty. But at the end of the day, you won't pray for things in your life. Because truth be told, we all got a Peter spirit in us because we think that we're the captain of our own souls. Oh, I'm trying to talk to somebody this morning. The Bible graphically describes this ordeal between Peter and the Lord. As the night progresses and the pressure increases, you begin to see the decline in the relationship between Peter and Jesus. If you read carefully, you will notice the little subtle things. As the pressure begins, you begin to see Peter fall further and further behind Jesus, and the soldiers that were guiding him to his judgment location, he began to follow Jesus but afar off. Oh, that's what the text says. Got to stick to the text. He still comes to church, but he follows afar off. Yeah, there's a danger of not walking closely with God. God doesn't like it well when we follow him at a distance. He says, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. I'll be your God, and you shall be my people. You will be surprised about the number of people that come to church but follow him afar off. Secret Christians, undercover agents with covert lifestyles, and when the pressure is on, they can go either way. They don't make commitments too strong to do anything. They won't get involved with anything. They won't get on any committee. They won't come to Sunday school. They won't go to the young adult trips. They won't go to the mature adult outings. They attend church. You see them in the same pew. They follow, but they follow afar off. They love the Lord, but it is secret. They pray, but they really don't want anybody to see them praying for their food. They don't really want nobody to know they really pray to Jesus. Peter stopped and warmed himself by the fire, warmed himself at the enemy's fire. See, you cannot serve God and mammon. You have to decide this day whom you will serve. You have to be careful of where you draw your strength from when you're under pressure. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm going to walk down Vice Street. Yeah, when you're under pressure, when you're not under pressure, you will stay away from certain individuals. But when the pressure comes, come on, somebody. Peter began to get comfortable with the warmth of the secular. Some of us cannot get out of certain dilemmas because we keep compromising our faith in God and putting it in a woman, a man, a car, money, career, even in the church. Come on, somebody. Church can even be an idol sometimes because some people come to church like it's a club. That's why they get mad when they think you in their VIP seat. Come on, somebody. They get mad when the church grows because, truth be told, the church itself has become an idol. You ain't got to be in every daggone, in every ministry. You ain't got, that's why try to limit the stuff that you do, because you're not going to go home and say, Pastor had me at the church. No, no, no. You can be on one or two ministry and take your little self home sometime, because sister girl going to get tired because you ain't coming home, and brother man going to get upset because you ain't coming home. You always at that church and wonder why your wife and your husband don't want to come. They already don't really know God, but you always up there every day of the week. You ain't got to be in every daggone ministry, because after a while, church even becomes an idol for you. Yeah, y'all see me here all the time, because I be trying to stay out of trouble. I get married. Y'all to see me 2/3 of the time you see me. Maybe 1/2. Peter was a disciple handpicked by God, but he was warming himself by the fire of the world. Some of us have slipped into an apathetic stance in our faith. We don't pray like we used to. We don't sing like we used to. We don't preach like we used to. We don't walk like we used to. People have noticed that at any inconvenience in the church upsets us now. When the preacher was long a few months ago, you get excited. Now it get on your nerves. What are you talking about? We need a building. What are you talking about? What are you talking? Girl, I'm tired. Now, a few more people have joined the church, and someone is in your self-proclaimed assigned seat. Now you have an attitude. The same person that will go down to the Redskins game or go see them play the Cowboys and sit on 64 in turtle speed traffic for hours, park way in the back of the parking lot, don't even have any cement on it, park in the little grass area, get a seat way in the rafters in the nosebleed section to watch a game that you can see better on your television and brag about being there. No one notices that you come to church with your priorities all messed up. You got mad because you couldn't get the parking spot you wanted at church, but you way down at the stadium, way almost a mile away, really should get in a shuttle, walk way up there and watch a game, but get mad because somebody in your seat at church. No one notices that you come to church with your priorities messed up. You still carry your Bible, but you don't read it anymore. Some of you bring it because it matches your shoes or matches your belt. You really ain't reading it. It becomes an accessory and not really a tool that you use. You follow the Lord, but like Peter, you follow or fall off. And this is when we run the risk of coming to our breaking point. Oh, the odd thing about the scene with Peter is that he could see Jesus. Jesus could see him. Woo! But Peter was surrounded by the secular, warmed himself with the world of resources. He had become a neutralized soldier. Satan had neutralized him. He wants to make you ineffective. That's what the devil want to do. He will either dilute you or pollute you. Oh, y'all don't hear me. He will dilate you and cause you. He will dilute you and cause you to lose your strength. Or he will pollute you with so much foreign matter that you begin to cease being what you were meant to be. That is why you have to be careful of who you talk to when they, because they will pollute your spirit. People that bring you bad news will pollute your spirit. They always talk about, I heard this, and I heard that, and I heard this, and I heard that. And how you hear everything all the time? How is it that you always in the right place to hear the mess in my life? You gotta use your own little sound mind and realize if they always bringing you the news, they must be talking about the news. Now, I know every now and then you gonna tell me some stuff to protect me, but if you know something every day, them your friends. You bringing me the mess that they say, and you want me to say something back so you can take something back to them. Oh, mama used to tell some of us that a dog that bring a bone or take a bone back. You better learn how to stop gossiping with these busybodies. You got to learn how to stop talking to these people that always got negative energy going on. If you ain't never happy, I can't be around you. Now, I know my life going to have some hills and valleys and some drop-off points, but if your life messed up every day, little girl looked at Peter, help me, Reverend, I appreciate that, and said, that's one of them. See, when you really belong to God, you won't be able to hide. You will go to the club and they'll be like, you ain't even dancing right. You will smoke the herbs and start preaching sermons. Oh, yeah, when you really belong to God, they'll be like, you can't even cuss me out right no more. Come on, somebody. Why? It's because the scent of God on you. He said, smell the savor of the Lord. When you smell like God, see, some women that say, I'm sorry to go there, I just got to be extreme sometimes. Women that say they can smell their assailant on them, the one that violated them and the one that may have raped them. But God has a scent on you. He don't violate you. But once you have an encounter with God, I don't care how crazy you act, I don't care how far you go, God will always be in your consciousness because his scent will be on you. Even when you walk in the midst of Egypt, they'll let you walk back out because they know you came from Egypt, but you had some type of encounter somewhere that made you different. Come on, can I talk to some people that smell like God? Yeah, I know you smell like reefer on Saturday night. Yeah, I know you got the easy Jesus in you. Yeah, I know you had a little much of Hennessy last night. I know you got drunk. I know you was doing something you weren't supposed to do. You was laying somewhere you weren't supposed to, but you still smell like God. And everybody know that is something different about you. Oh, I don't care. Just make me a headset next week because this microphone make me go too crazy. I'm too old for all this talking. I like when I'm paced. Yeah. All of my non-African Americans, come back next week and I'll be back to normal. I promise you. I'll have my headset and I'll be very calm. I promise you, I do. When they pointed at Peter, he said, I don't know him. He compromised his own goals. Have you ever done anything you didn't want to do? Have you ever been anywhere you didn't want to go? Catch this. Have you ever done something you thought you would never do? But this is the kicker right here. Have you ever done what you like but didn't like what you do? Come on, somebody. You like what you do. You liked it, but you don't. Come on, somebody. Have you ever done what you like but didn't like what you do? Just get quiet. Don't even worry about it. Say amen by blinking your eyes. You don't want nobody to know your secret mess. Come on, somebody. Truth be told, the reason why people don't want to come to church because church folk act like they got it all together. And truth be told, somebody saw you. Come on, somebody. Sometimes people don't say nothing to you, but they saw you in the mall with somebody that didn't look like who you supposed to be with. Come on, somebody. They saw you somewhere, but you want to act like you got it all together. You want to act like you ain't had no potholes, no curves, no pit stops. You want to act like you didn't have no cliffhangers. You're going to act like you ain't had it all together. Stop acting like you got it all together and tell people the truth that you just messed up just like them, but you know a God that has lifted you out of the pits of hell and made sure that he saved your wretched soul. Let them know that you deserve to go to hell like everybody else, but I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. If you start telling them the truth and stop acting like you got it all together, then folks will start back coming to church. But as long as they know your life messed up and you act like you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. God sent three people to ask him the question, did he know him? Do you remember when you used to praise God? Do you remember when you used to read your word every day? Do you remember when you used to ask God about things you ask everybody else about now? Do you remember when you used to put your faith in God and not those men? Do you remember you put your faith in God and not the people around you? The devil always increases the amount of pressure in your life as the distance between you and the Lord increases. The cock crowed three times after he denied him three times. The cock was a sign of his distance, that was the distance that was created between him and the Lord. The amount of people you talk to will begin to distance you. The places you go will begin to help distance you. People you hang with, come on, somebody, but begin to increase the distance. In the mix of all that was going on with Jesus, he turned and looked at Peter. Peter remembered what Jesus told him about denying him. He went away and wept bitterly. How well do you know yourself? Do you really know what's in you? See, some of us think we know all the answers, but if we just keep on living, life would show us that we have a breaking point like everybody else. Oh, life will shut your mouth if you keep on living and you and fall one day and you will stop judging everybody around you. Life got a way of dealing with you. It'll make you put your accusing fingers, curl it up and put it in your pocket. See, when you really go through something, you will stop lying on folk. You will stop gossiping on people. You will stay out of other folks' business. Why? Because you true yourself. You know that you afraid. You know that you messed up. You know that you limited. See, folk that don't ever do anything, don't ever be around people, they don't know what their breaking point is. But when you really just keep on living life, you'll run into something that you can't handle. See, there's a little difference between Peter and Judas. Come on, somebody. Both of them denied Jesus in some way. It looked like they were the same person almost. But Jesus restored Peter and Judas killed himself. Why? Because Judas didn't come to the point to realize, if I can just go back to Jesus, I'll be all right. That's why the Bible says, look, come on, somebody. You can't, he said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. But see, church folk will be like, Jesus, you sure you don't want me to go take out the tares for you? And the master in Matthew said, no, don't take out the tares, because you might root out the wheat also. Because really a tare ain't nothing but a wheat that got torn. Come on, somebody. He said, look here, I need you to just leave it alone. Stop trying to put folk out of church. I know they ain't got together, but truth be told, you ain't either. I know you look like you got together. I know you got your little hat on. I know you got your little long dress on. I know you got your little suit on. Come on, somebody. I know you got your little tie all straight. But truth be told, under all that mess, you messed up just like everybody else. What? I ain't got time. I'm ready to go. This fly, Jesus, help me. Can I talk to some people? See, when you get to the breaking point, you will begin to question every decision you have made and every person you are surrounded by. Pressure will make you question everything. I want to talk to some people that have been to hell and back. I want to talk to some people who are not so sure about themselves and don't think they have all the answers. I don't care how tough or how smart you are, but you will get to a point where you have to second guess some decisions you made in life. I know some of you all don't know what I'm talking about, because you have it all together. You still walking on water. You still cutting off ears like Peter. But if you just keep on living, just a few chapters down the line, you're going to run into something you can't handle. Peter wasn't there when they beat Jesus to a pole. Peter wasn't there when he was at the cross. Peter had walked away from Jesus, even though he had been killing folk and stepping up on Jesus. But now he had this point where he had come into a breaking point. See, it's something about mighty men and women of valor. When we lose, we can't hardly take it, because we ain't used to losing. Come on, somebody. I saw myself on yesterday. Nobody had been showing up to the I Too Can Dream. I began to feel like something is about to go wrong. And all of a sudden, everybody showed up 30 minutes late, and it was a full house full. Come on, somebody. I felt like I could feel it, because I didn't have no control. And I said, God, you got to do something about this, because I know you gave me this vision to partner with this person to make this come to fruition. What's going on? And God began to show up, but he didn't show up until I got to the point and knew I didn't have it all together. Come on, somebody. You got to get to the point and know that it ain't nothing but God on your side. Yeah, I'm ready. He said, look here, this is what brought me to a point. I thought I was going to call this message the breaking point, but then I got to the point and Jesus took me to Mark chapter 16, verse 7. And I saw what the angel said. And the angel gave me some hope to all my breaking point failing people. Oh, you don't hear me. Mark 16 and 7 says, but go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he go up before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as ye said unto you. See, look at here. The angel said to him, tell the disciples and Peter. Oh, you don't hear me. He didn't call Andrew by name. He didn't call James by name. He didn't call Philip by name. He didn't call Bartholomew by name. He didn't call Matthew by name. He didn't even call the disciple John, who he loved, by his name. But he said, go tell the disciples and Peter. What was Jesus doing right there? He was telling Peter, I know you denied me. I know you denied me three times, but I'm going to hit the reset button in your life. I know you keep tipping out on your husband. I know you keep cheating on your wife, but I'm going to hit the reset button in your life. I'm going to forgive you of everything. I'm going to wash away your sins with my precious blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He is my reset button. He is my do-over. He is my retest. He is my retake. I know I flunked my life. I know I messed up, but I'm just going to hit the reset button. Tell everybody I'm just going to boop, hit the reset button and reset my life. I know I'm wretched. I know I sin. I know I lie. I know I cheat. I know I'm wretched. I know I'm a gossiper. I know I'm a liar. I know I do all these things wrong, but this brings me hope. Even though Peter messed up, he made sure that he called Peter by name. Why didn't he call Matthew? Because Matthew didn't mess up that big. Why didn't he call Bartholomew? Because Bartholomew passed the test. But because Peter, with his mighty man of valor, the same man that walked on water, the same man that cut off the soldier's ear, the same man that said, "You are the rock, the son of the living God," the same man who walked in all this power, when he fell, went to his weak moment, thought God wasn't gonna use him no more. He got to the point where he thought all was lost, but the angel sent a message through the young ladies. He said, "Tell the disciples and Peter." And when he told them, Peter was restored. Can I talk to somebody who think they messed up? Who think their life is over? Who think you done sinned so much that God don't love you? I know somewhere I read, there's no height, no depth, no principality, no angel, no mountain, no valley, no sin that could separate me from the love of my God. I know I was a whoremonger, but I'm delivered. I know I was an adulterer, but I'm delivered. I know I was a gossiper, but I'm delivered. I'ma let God hit my reset button and start my life over again. Don't talk about my life when I was in another place. Don't talk about how I used to be. Don't talk about how I messed up. Even if it was last night, I'ma tell God, please hit the reset button. Change my life. I know you're splintered. I know you're broken. But if you can just let God hit the reset button. In fact, sometimes you just need to hit it yourself. Forgive yourself. Start over. Know he died for you. Know that you can't do it on your own. If he knew you could have done it on your own, he never would have went to the cross. Oh, let God hit the reset button. Let him get your life right. I know you messed up. We all messed up. We all fall short of the glory of God. I'm going to tell you like Peter, there's a thorn in my side too. I ain't dumb enough to tell you what it is. See, some of y'all, you can tell people you sin, but if you tell them exactly what you do, they start judging you. Don't you give people your specifics. You let them know I too struggle. When a sinner come to you and they mess up, tell them I fall too. What is it? I don't know. There's a thorn in my side. Because truth be told, you don't know if their weakness gossip. Tell your business to somebody who backside on gossip, your life over. Confess your sins one to another, but you ain't got to tell everybody your business. It shouldn't be about 2-3 people in your life you trust everything with, and they still fell asleep when he went up on the mountain. He trusted them three, but he kept going. Because truth be told, that scene will let you know this. He knew how far he could trust them. You know, they was in the Holy of Holies. He took the three to the mountain with him. I know I'm in a whole other sermon. But he walked up a little further by himself. There are some storms that you got to go through by yourself. There are some things that you got to go into alone. And there are some times where when you get to the point you can't handle it,
You just got to let God hit the reset button. Ask for forgiveness. Now, stop doing the same thing over and over again. But ask for forgiveness. They don't forgive you, you can't worry about it. At least you asked for it. But you just got to know God forgave you. There's been times I've been at people's dying beds. And they began to confess all the things they did to me. And I begin to say, I already knew. And they begin to feel bad and act like they can't die until I forgive them. But I forgive you anyway. But truth be told, even if I don't, I ain't got a heaven or hell to put you in. And neither does anyone else. You need to learn how to forgive other people, but the main person you need to learn how to forgive is yourself. The problem is we walk around here arrogant and don't even know we arrogant. You know why? Because God said, if you ask me for forgiveness, I'll forgive you. But sometimes, even when we ask for forgiveness, we still try to hold a guilt on ourselves. So what, you messed up? Well, not so what, but bad choice of words, but, you know. You messed up. But God knew you was going to mess up. He said, Peter, you the rock, I'm going to build my church. He said that before Peter fell, but he already knew he was going to fall because he told him before he fell. Peter already know you're going to fall. I'm still going to build the church on you, but you know what? You're going to deny me. Peter like, no, I ain't going to do it. What is the lesson in this? Stop acting like you got it all together. Stop acting like you have all the answers. Stop acting like it's impossible for you to fall. It says first pride, then what? The fall. Oh, y'all don't hear me. That's why I tell my deacons, don't you go to no woman house laying hands on there and take your wife with you. You might leave them hands on there too long. Keep it. I'm telling you. Your wife a deaconess or not, take her with you. Hey, I know you ain't no deaconess, but you married to me. You better walk on with me. Come on, somebody. I know she's looking at you different. Your stomach big, but them women looking at your credit. Your credit look good. Look at him with his fat self. He had a big old bank account. Yeah, old fat stinking man. His credit so good. Yeah, he fat, but his credit fine, girl. See, y'all church folk, y'all better learn how to keep it real. Uh-huh. Acting like you strong, you fall because you think you strong. You feel me? That's why we fall, because we think we got it all together. Peter thought he had it all together. But Jesus said, you're going to fall. I ain't going to fall. How you going to tell Jesus you ain't going to fall? But some of us do. It says in the Bible that we all fall short. But some of us, oh, they talking about everybody else. All mean all in Greek, Swahili, Hebrew, Aramaic. All mean all. It's only meaning in all the languages you go to, all means all. All means all in Spanish, Japanese, everything. It means all. We all fall short of the glory of God. So it's not a matter of if we're going to fall. It's when we're going to fall. It's inevitable. So stop acting like you got it all together and know that even when you fall, God has a reset button for your life. Why? It's called the blood of Jesus. And see, truth be told, some of us have to use a reset button so many times. Hope you don't have to use it to infinity all the time, but you know, every now and then you need to reset. But if you don't know who Jesus is, if you don't have a relationship with him, you don't know what I'm talking about with this reset button. The reset button is for those who are covered with the blood of Jesus. And so what I want to ask you right now, is it anybody in here that wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Hello, I'm Pastor Willard Maxwell of New Beach Grove. And I just wanted to let you know, I believe that God is speaking directly to us through this ministry. And I believe that there may be some messages that you've missed that are life changing for you and you need to take the time to order. Or maybe there's some message that you heard that you know a friend or a coworker or a family member, even an enemy's life may be changed. And let me tell you this, in the Bible it says, don't stack up treasures here on earth that the moth will eat or the water will wash away. It says, stack up your treasures in heaven where they will last for eternity. eternity. John says, in my Father's house, there's many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. What I'm telling you is this. The way you stack up your crown and build your mansions in heaven is when you give a life-changing word to someone or share salvation. You don't have to be the one bringing the word. You can just buy the word and send it to someone, and you're stacking up treasures in heaven. I'm believing that you're going to make the right decision, and you're going to get this series or get a CD or get a DVD for somebody. It's going to be life-changing, and instead of building up treasures here on earth, you're going to take the time to build up the treasures in eternity, where you will live with your Father forever. Be blessed.